Genesis 31, verses 44 to 53. Before I leave this chapter, I'd like to look at this passage dealing with Mizpah. I'll read the relevant verses. In verse 43, Laban is speaking to Jacob, and he's complaining that the women are his daughters, and the children really are his, and the flocks really are his. But he knows the end has come, and so he says this, "Come now, let's make a covenant, you and I, and let it serve as a witness between us." So Jacob took a stone and set it up as a pillar. He said to his relatives, "Gather some stones." So they took stones and piled them in a heap, and they ate there by the heap. Laban called it Jigar Sahadutha, and Jacob called it Galeed. One was speaking in Aramaic, the other was speaking in Hebrew. Laban said, "This heap is a witness between you and me today." That is why it was called Galeed. It was also called Mizpah, because he said, "May the Lord keep watch between you and me when we are away from each other. If you will treat my daughters, or if you take any wives besides my daughters, even though no one is with us, remember that God is a witness between you and me." Laban also said to Jacob, "Here is this heap, and here is this pillar I have set up between you and me. This heap is a witness, and this pillar is a witness that I will not go past this heap to your side to harm you, and that you will not go past this heap and pillar to my side to harm me. May the God of Abraham and the God of Nahor, the God of their father, judge between us." So Jacob took an oath in the name of the fear of his father Isaac. He offered a sacrifice there and so on. And the two men parted, never to meet again. Genesis 31, 44 to 53. Mizpah. Now this event, this pillar, this heap of stones, this witness place, this covenant that they made, Mizpah, has come down in throughout the ages, down through the years, through the centuries, and it's with us today, and it still has resonance. And Mizpah has become a term that's been very much used, especially amongst believers. I remember 50 or 60 years ago, nearly 60 years ago now, I remember when I was, whatever the word is today, courting, walking out with, dating the young lady that very shortly would become my wife. I was away at university, and we would have emotional times of separation when I would have to go back. We parted from each other. Now, in the Daily Light, there was readings for this, that collection of scriptures, and one was Mizpah, "The Lord watch over you, the Lord watch over us, the Lord be with us," and so on. And we would think about such things, and this was the kind of spirit in which we parted, that we were absent from one another, but there was this emotional bond between us, this love between us. And the Lord was there, and the Lord was with us, and watching over us, and in a way we were not separate from each other. We were still one together, even though we were apart, many miles apart. And Mizpah became a very precious thing. And it's used in that way today, that emotional bond between friends when they are separate from each other. But when you look at the passage, my friend, it is indeed, and in fact, very different. Laban and Jacob, they cannot even agree who's putting the building there, the stones there in the pillar. Laban makes the suggestion. But at least the two of them made an agreement here. Now, they made an agreement, but they're chalk and cheese, these men, oil and water. They're on different pages altogether. Laban, as I've tried to explain, was a man of the world. Jacob, a man of God. I'm not saying that Jacob was perfect, and I'm certainly not saying that Laban was altogether bad. That's not what I'm saying at all. But these men were fundamentally different to each other. One was a man of the world. The other was a man of God. is Ishmael and Isaac again. Coming into the new covenant is the sheep and the goats. It's being in Adam and being in Christ. It's the broad way and the narrow way. It's darkness and light. It's flesh and spirit. And these two men are very different. They're poles apart. And this Mizpah is not an emotional bond of love and affection. It's a separating bond. It's not a warm place. It's a cold clinical place, a place of judgment. The Lord watch over us, not for mercy. But if you harm my daughters, even though I don't see it, the Lord will know. And the implication is he will take vengeance upon you. And they make this vow, I won't cross this stone and this heap of stones to harm you. And you mustn't come across this way to harm me. This cairn, you see, I mean, walking in the peaks and the dales and so on in the north of England, what do you see? Piles of stones, cairns, marking the way, the witness point, and people passing by throw another stone on to protect and build up and maintain the heap. It's a valuable sign when you're climbing a hill to see that's where you have to go. That's the path. That's the turning point. That's the climax or whatever it might be. That's the place to get to. It's a very helpful thing. Cairns can be this. But this here was a customs point. It was the barbed wire fences erected on the beaches. These were markers to say no further. Come this far, but no further. You don't harm me, and I don't harm you. It was not a warm place at all. It was a marker for separation and distinction between Laban and Jacob. You see, we have lost the scriptural meaning of this and moved it into something much more pleasant, and that's very common today. This passage is talking about is separation and distinction between the world and the believer. Our fathers knew about this. And when, in the days when I was courting the young lady I was talking about, in the late 50s and the early 60s, separation was a very big word amongst evangelicals. We were separate from the world. We knew it, and we talked about it. The hymns, you see, that some of the writers have written speak about this. Take Isaac Watts. He's basing this on the Song of Solomon, chapter 4 and verse 12. Zion's a garden walled around, chosen and made peculiar ground, a little spot enclosed by grace, out of the world's wide wilderness. There's the wilderness. But the ecclesia, the assembly of believers, believers themselves, a little garden enclosed in this wild wilderness. Thomas Kelly, 'tis thy will that we should be separate from all the world around. Let our will with thine agree, let thy people thus be found. Separate. 2 Corinthians 6, come out. Revelation, Babylon, lever, come out, Christendom. But today, it's quite the opposite. The walls are down. We welcome the world, or the church, so-called church, welcomes the world. Invites the world in, copies the world, wants to be like the world, wants the world to like it. Ishmael's and Isaac, all welcome. Laban's and Jacob, come together. Of course, we hope you'll be converted, but come together. There's no separation, and yet Mizpah has a valuable lesson, and it speaks today. We need this barrier point. We need this separating point. We need this distinction between the world and the believer. Between the flesh and the spirit. Brother and sister, individually and in our assemblies, let us keep our Mizpahs thus far and no further, we say to the world. We're in the world, but not of it. Unbeliever, you're out there, outside. Ephesians chapter 2. Out of God, without hope in the world. Away from the covenants, away from the promises. Away from Christ, outside of Christ, no hope in the world. But you are welcome to come into Christ, to join him now, to fall before him and receive him as your Savior and Lord. and become one with his people. But there must be this clear distinction between the world and the church, between the world and the believer. Mizpah does speak today, not of an emotional, warm bond that exists between the world and the believer, but of a separation point, a thus far and no further. Mizpah speaks today. Will you listen, brother? Will you listen, sister? An unbeliever, will you listen? You're outside, outside of Christ. And you'll be outside of him forever, unless you trust him and fall before him as Savior and Lord. Do so now, and come into the warm, come into Christ, and be one with his people. Mizpah speaks today.